Good. So I just want to spend a few minutes just thinking about Advent. We'll finish at 12, don't worry. yeah, I might have told you this little story before, but when we were planting a little church in Horsham, we had good friends, Jane and Adrian Excel. They had two young lads, similar age to our Matthew and James at that point, so these boys would have been seven or eight, something like that. So Luke and Josh went to their mum, Jane, one day and said, "Oh, it's really unfair." And she said, "What do you mean it's unfair?" She said, "Well, God will be with Matthew and James at Christmas and not with us." And she said, "What on earth are you talking about? God's everywhere, you know, and God will be with us." And they said, "Well, no, that's not what we've heard, that's not what we've picked up." And she interrogated them, as good mums do, and said, "Well, help me understand why you say this." And they said, "Well, our surname is Excel, so God won't be with us. He'll be with the withers, because the Bible says, you know, God will be with us." So Jane, bless her, had to explain that God came for everybody and wasn't just going to be at our house because we shared his surname, God with us. Because our surname is Withers, and that he would turn up at the Excel's house as well. So that's, and that little story just encapsulates something, I think, of the wonder of what Advent is about as we think about God coming into the world. I watched one of my favourite films. Pam was out last week, and it's amazing. And I was in, which is equally amazing. So I watched something that I recorded a while ago, which I hadn't watched for ages, and my chest ached because I laughed so much. Because I watched Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire. If you've never seen it, I think it's a fabulous film. And I was thinking about, well, why do I like this film? What is it? Because often films resonate with you somehow. Is it, and you're all sat there thinking, or those of you that know me think, I know why he likes this film, because he likes dressing up. It's not that. And as I've been thinking about it, oh, that might be one of the reasons, but I was thinking about what Robin Williams does in that film. So just to remind you of the story, he loses his job. He's a voiceover actor. He sets up a party for his child, and they have an outrageous party in the house, and his wife is quite strong about keeping the house tidy and organised and all that sort of thing, and it ends up in the wife chucking him out, basically. And he wants to keep in touch with his kids. They go to court, and he's not given custody of the children. His wife is, and he's trying to work out how he's going to see his children. And his wife needs a housekeeper. So he, along with his brother, who's a makeup artist, dresses himself up as Mrs. Doubtfire and goes as the housekeeper, which means he gets to see his children every day, but they don't know it's him. And I just thought, isn't that a wonderful window into the God who comes and becomes one of us, which is what Robin Williams does in that film, because he wants to be with his children. And it's the same parallel as we experience through the Christmas story. God wanting to come and be with us. To say, guys, I'm here. I'm in the midst of you. And just like Robin Williams playing this character in the film, the children don't recognize him. That's so true of so many in our world today, isn't it? Not recognizing that this is God with us. This baby that was born in a manger is the God of creation, who stepped into our world. And one of the reasons that I think many miss that is because of the understanding that many people in our world have of the God that we believe in. I was talking to somebody 2 weeks ago, a vicar up in, where is he, Merseyside, up that sort of way somewhere. And he said, "Trevor, I think if I were to survey most of my neighbours and ask them what they thought about the God that I believe in as a Christian, I'd have to say to them, well, I don't believe in that God either. Because the understanding that they have of the God, the Christian God we believe in, is so far away from the God that we believe in. So there's this gap. And the gap, I think, is primarily to do with the fact that most people think that God is disconnected from the world. He's out there somewhere giving us a hard time. At best, he's wound the world up and left it running and just abandoned it and left us to our own devices. And one day he's going to turn up and give us all havoc for not doing what he wanted us to do. I think that's the sort of picture that many people have of the God that we believe in. So I think we have a job to do, to actually say, no, that isn't the God we believe in. That God is a result of our Greek thinking from Aristotle, who put God in this perfectionist state, which Greeks do with their deities, their gods, that is somehow perfect and set apart from the world. That is not the Hebrew God that you and I believe in. That is not the Hebrew God of the Bible, because the Hebrew God of the Bible is connected with our world. He is passionate about each one of us and the creation that he has created. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, well, what does that mean for us? And I think it means that we need to talk a lot more about the God who's with us, the God who walks alongside us, the God who we know personally turns up in our situations and circumstances, just as we've heard this morning from many people, that God is in us, God is with us, God is around us. That's the good news. And that links for me with something that I've been exploring, helped hugely by Brené Brown, who writes, just written her latest book on leadership, and has done research for 12 plus years into vulnerability and shame. And she says, in our Western world, and many of you will have heard me say this, so it's not new, that shame in our Western culture is at epidemic proportions. So many of us experience what shame puts on us. And we've moved from this place where we feel guilty because we've done something wrong to a place where we feel shameful. Shame is not about doing things wrong. Shame says there's something wrong with us. We feel there's something wrong with us. We feel disconnected from the world around us, from our families, from our friendships, from the world at large, because there's something wrong with us. What Brené Brown says is the antidote to that shame, which thrives, the shame thrives on secrecy, silence, and judgment, her research highlights. So shame is kept secret. It's hidden away. That's what it thrives on. The antidote, she says, if you put shame in a petri dish in a laboratory, if you could do that, what would you need to douse it with for it not to be there anymore? She says what you need to douse it with is empathy. Empathy is what releases people from shame. I want to suggest to you that we have a corner on empathy because we have a God who came and lived amongst us. A God who left heaven, came and empathized with us in a very vulnerable way, being born as a child, and totally gets what it's like to live in our world. That, the incarnation of Jesus, is what Brené Brown talks about, this antidote to shame. So my suggestion is that through this Advent season and as we head towards Christmas, we need to talk about, we need to share our experience of having Jesus with us, because that acts as a very powerful witness to our friends and colleagues who feel disconnected, who feel isolated and carry this sense of shame, there's something wrong with me. Because Jesus says, I've stepped into your world, I will walk alongside you, I know what it's like to be where you are, and I want to draw you away from that shame. And I want to honour you, just as we prayed that David might be honoured this week as he steps back into his workplace. Jesus says, I have dealt with your shame. I've taken it to the cross. Not only have I taken it to the cross, but I have risen again from the dead. And I've gone back to join Father, Son. Joined back in the Trinity. Sorry, Father and Holy Spirit. Been accepted back into that community and honoured back into that community as Jesus ascended. That's the message that I think we need to talk about as we share our faith or get opportunities to do that over Christmas. So not that it's you've done something wrong, you need God, but actually you feel separated from God, often from yourself, definitely from other people, Jesus is able to reconnect you with God. And the way that he's done that is come and lived amongst us. So he knows what it's like to live where we are and draws us back into relationship with the Father and with our Christian community as we join it and with our friends and our family. There's redemption in us belonging. We're reconnected. So I think that's a powerful thing for us to be carrying and to be celebrating. The other thing I want to suggest, just as I close, is that we zoom away from all the stuff that goes on around Christmas. It's the one time of year that I go shopping. I'm not a big fan of shopping, unless it's Screwfix or Wickes. And then I know what I'm going for, and I buy it and I leave, you know. I don't like going around the shops, but once a year I do have to step in and buy things. step away from all that and just have this sense of being grateful. And gratitude, I think, leads to joy, of us being grateful for what God has done for us. And let that be the central sort of ground of us celebrating Christmas, that God has stepped in amongst us. And I want to suggest in doing that, that we would be present. What do I mean by that? So often I think we're disconnected from this moment because we're thinking about the next moment or the moment after or the moment that's gone. Or we get distracted by other things. You'll know what those things are. So to be present during this season, during this Advent season, just as Jesus was present with us and present with the people that he engaged with throughout his life, I want to encourage us to be present. So as we have conversations, as we're in other people's company, to be there with them and not let ourselves skirt off, but to actively listen and engage, to be present. The biggest present I think we can give people this Christmas is us being present. Just as Jesus was present with us, so will we be present with those that we spend this season with. We can do that specifically next Saturday as we gather to have carols around the campfire, and of course when we're together the following week, but also moment by moment in our workplaces, in our local communities, in our families particularly, give them the gift of being present with them. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for this season. We pray that a sense of gratitude might even now rise up in our hearts as we close our time together. Thank you for all the things that we've experienced together. Thank you for your presence with us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and stir in our hearts afresh. And as we step into all of the activities of this coming week, that we would know your presence and that we would be present with those that we have the opportunity to spend time with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.